When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Harry Douglas sitting in for Keyshawn today. You can download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app to fill out your brackets for both the men's and women's tournament. Join the KJM Celebrity Group and play along with us. Filling out brackets with ESPN is free and easy. The ESPN Tournament Challenge is presented by WebEx.
Got your brackets out yet, boys? No.
Not yet. Not
both
yet.
Y'all, no, no. Nothing. How do we not do this?
You know what Sean Farnham put me up on yesterday?
Thursday.
No, the first game starts tonight.
Oh.
Playing tonight.
Guess I need to do it tonight then.
Yeah, because I know because Indiana plays tonight, my wife, obviously.
Sean Farnham put me up on yesterday on this just in. 2 p.m. Eastern ESPN. You know what? You know, handsome host, did I mention that? You know what he put me up on? South Dakota State. You know what they're shooting from three?
What?
As a team?
What?
45%.
Wow.
I've never heard of anything like that.
That random stat is very impressive.
It is very impressive. It blew my mind. I went back to it three times. As a team. Have you ever heard anything like that?
No.
Evan, what did you say? I offended people by saying
please don't offend the teams that are playing tonight by calling it a play-in. It's opening round games, please.
Opening round.
They don't like to call play-in because they are actually in the tournament.
Right. Yeah. But so they have to win this game first to get into the tournament.
I will work on being politically correct when it comes to clarifying the opening round.
Thank you, yes. We don't want to offend any of the teams playing tonight. They are part of the Field of 68. There's also Field of 68 in the women tomorrow night, opening round games.
Yes.
Please don't call those play-in, thank you.
Yeah, on our network, by the way.
Right, because these are the playoffs. So really, the first opening games you call the play-outs. something ain't going to be in the playoffs, basically. Guys, three players scored at least 45 points yesterday in the NBA.
Happy birthday, Steph.
Yeah, Steph, by the way.
Pisces.
34.
Remember all the long shooting slump and the whole thing? It's amazing how Draymond Green's just presence or imminent return changes everything.
Makes the game easy for people.
He's the car engine.
I said it before, him and Marcus Smart, they are the engine to the cars. They make it easy for everybody.
Yeah. And Draymond in particular, if this is like the modern or postmodern NBA era, whatever you want to call it, Harry, we were talking about, we were all chopping it up about the NBA before the show started. What really changed the center position? We're going to get to this in a second. Because centers have to guard in space now. They have to do all these things, shoot from outside. To me, Draymond, when they went to the death lineup and you had a small ball five do everything guy, all of a sudden you need an Al Horford type. You need guys who can do more who are more versatile than, you know, Patrick Ewing and Alonzo Mourning, who were great, but like different kinds of players. Changed everything. So now you have guys like Jokic and Embiid. And by the way, Karl Anthony Towns, who became the fifth center in NBA history with a 60-point game.
Stand up St. Joe's in Metuchen, New Jersey. That's my school, by the way.
60.
We went to the same high school. I just want you to know that.
60. Oh, that's crazy. That's a basketball factory, right?
So
there.
Who was the best player to ever come out of there?
He's the real one. I'll give it to him in a heartbeat. I'll give it to him. 6'11", doing that. I mean, he's probably the third best big in the game of basketball right now.
Is Giannis a big?
I look at Giannis more as a swing guard.
Is AD a big?
I see him as a four.
He just spends so much more time. I'm talking about guys that play with their back to the basket.
Center.
More like, I don't think there's true centers anymore. I think the game has evolved into, like, Joel Embiid isn't a true center. Neither is Jokic. They're not true centers. They're bigs with the versatility of doing things on the perimeter, but they can play with their back to the basket. I don't really see AD play with his back to the basket.
Back to the basket and protect the rim. Would you throw that in there?
Well, AD can protect the rim.
AD can protect the rim.
But I need AD on the court
post,
to put him in that category.
Yeah.
The Lakers need him on the court, especially after watching the last two games they played.
Cat dropped 60. Steph 60. Dropped 47. Cat dropped 60 and 32 in the third, which the all-time record's Clay, who dropped 37 in a quarter. Steph, 47 on his birthday.
And then Trae Young. Ice Trae, baby.
I mean, talk about who changed the game.
Who
Trae
play
Young.
ATL.
Stand up. Stand up, ATL, baby.
Trae Young does not have the best skills I have ever seen or the most talent. But you know what he has? He has the kind of heart to watch Steph Curry and say, I can play like that. And he has guts to do it. And just because he has talent and his skills are good enough and he has the guts to do it, 46, that's his second 45-point game in back-to-back games. Mm. It's insane.
Well, let me tell you what I love about Trae Young. The city of Atlanta, especially basketball-wise, needed a villain that the city embraced and loved. He became that last year in the NBA in that series against the New York Knicks. And the city, when I mean the city is behind Trae Young, the city is behind Trae Young in multiplicity of ways. And I love it. Now, I just hope they can make some noise in the play-in and see if they can get over the hump, because I think they are one of the scariest teams, the Atlanta Hawks, when they're hitting on all cylinders.
Well, so this is what's interesting to talk about this morning, and it could be really quickly. So you see the Cavs won last night, the Raptors won last night, the Brooklyn Nets, obviously, and then the Hawks won last night, right? Yep. So you have this four-team race, and Charlotte's right there, too, with 34 wins, that are all vying for the playing position. And Max, as we talk about with the Brooklyn Nets, you know, that 7-8 range right now, they would have to play against Toronto, and that would mean Kyrie Irving couldn't play in Toronto and couldn't play at home.
There's so much to get into. By the way, the Lakers had 12 points in the first quarter against the Raptors. They were outscored 33-12.
Carl Anthony Towns had how many points?
32 points in the third. So we're going to get to the Lakers in an hour. Here's the question. Is there a more talented big than Carl Anthony Towns? Jay, you have said, yes, Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic, right? It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Listen to Jokic, the Nuggets center extraordinaire. Last year led the league in PER, which is not an end-all and be-all stat, but it accounts for a lot of the stats that people like, points, rebounds, assists, and you know, all the percentages and all that stuff. And this year has a better PER than last year, by the way. This is what he said about facing Embiid on the road, a game that they won, by the way, that Jokic won.
To be honest, I just talked to Joel, and we have the same comment, centers. As long as the big man wins, we're going to be fine.
You do realize you're making history, right?
Who?
You!
I mean, it is what I'm just trying to win every game, you know. Joel was amazing today. He's doing that to every game, so I was just trying to keep up with him.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Who's better, Jokic or MBJ?
Like, who would I prefer to play with as a guard?
Who do you think's better? Well, who would you prefer to play with? Sure. Who would you prefer to play with?
I'm not getting caught in these thirst traps anymore, Harry. Who's
thirst
better?
Thirst trap. Baby.
Like, they're both so unique, man. Like, they're one-on-one bigs. So,
who would you rather play with?
I think if you're a floor spacer, Jokic is. Basketball IQ is off the charts. His passing ability is so dangerous. Yeah. But Joel Embiid's offensive ability to space the floor, I mean, they both do things very similar. I'll be happy with either.
I'm taking Embiid.
I'm taking Embiid because his defense is a little better.
Yeah. And I think he's more of the dominant player.
See, I don't know. I don't know about that. See, I think you're thinking about dominant, expecting with the having the ball scoring.
And I'm just saying in the paint.
I'm just trying to tell you how many points Jokic accounts for per game due to his – I mean, he's accounted for at least 20 to 30 points a game with his assists.
Because he can facilitate, yeah.
With his assists. So add those assists to his ability to pick and pop, floor space.
Rebound.
They're just different. They're different. I agree that Joel Embiid's better defensively.
I'm just saying, like, paint-wise, I think Embiid is more dominant.
Yeah, but this is also –
you see the way he gets to the free throw line.
Agreed. Because he got there like 12 times.
He's a little taller, a little longer, like, you know.
But, yeah. All right, so I combat that thought with Jokic being more durable.
I wouldn't argue with it.
And Jokic shoots it a little better.
Yes.
Although Embiid's shooting has improved.
I'm looking at Jokic last night, getting the ball, bringing it up the court, no-look passes. And I'm like, the man's skill set is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
And he doesn't play above the rim.
See, so these are little things that when Embiid won the individual performance last night, but then the Nuggets won the game. But now I give Bones Highland a lot of credit. You guys don't know his story. I can tell that later. It made four threes in the fourth quarter. But still, like, the Nuggets are still playing without Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray.
I know.
And you just hit it, Jay, for me on Jokic. The reason I love Jokic, but I will be a true believer when I see him be the best player on the team in the playoffs, which I have not yet seen. Jamal Murray was the best player on the team when they had that run in the bubble. And Jokic, if he could match that, they could win a championship. But he has to match that. Agreed. He's got to raise up in the playoffs. Although Embiid also has not been completely lights out in the playoffs.
Just very quickly about Bones Highland. I don't know if you guys know this. I mean, he's from Delaware. He had about 600 to 700 people at the game the other night. He lost his grandmother and a cousin in a house fire. Okay, he jumped out of the second story of a home. Him and his little brother, like, he tore up his knee. I mean, the story of him coming back and playing, had four threes last night in the fourth quarter, being drafted as a rookie, is just one of these incredible stories where we get so fixated with scoring points and who's the best and who's better. You have these stories of these people that have survived and thrived, and Bones Highland is one of them.
And you really want people to get interested in your story. You hit four threes in the fourth.
Yeah,
and he did it. That's an amazing story. Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app to fill out your brackets for both the men's and women's tournament. You can join KJM Celebrity Group Play along with us, filling out brackets with ESPN's Free and Easy, the ESPN Tournament Challenge, presented by WebEx. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. The Steelers answered their biggest question of the offseason, but that leaves another.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
I'm a guy who thinks Mitch Trubisky is a good starter in the NFL.
Uh-oh.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Harry Douglas in for Key today. Have I mentioned yet today that you can download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app and fill out your brackets for both men's and women's tournament?
Right.
Jay, you can join the KJM Celebrity Group and play along with us.
Oh.
Can you imagine that?
I thought I was already part of that.
You are. Yeah. Filling out brackets with ESPN are my two favorite things. Free and easy. The ESPN Tournament Challenge is presented by WebEx. All right, so NFL free agency frenzy, guys. It's crazy what's going on. Every second it feels like there's more news. You already forgot what happened a day ago because things keep breaking. But the AFC is loading up on defense to stop those quarterbacks. One of the all-time great, potentially great quarterback divisions. Think about who's in that division. Russell Wilson is either the third or fourth best quarterback, depending on the year Derek Carr has and the year Russell Wilson has. Right now, I put him third because Justin Herbert is ridiculous. Patrick Mahomes probably the best I've ever seen. I mean, so now they need to get Khalil Mack. They need to go get the quarterback, right? Former Patriots corner, J.C. Jackson.
Big move.
Agrees to a deal with the Chargers, 5 years, $82.5 million.
And by the way, Harry, that's the first thing I thought, what you said in the pre-show meeting. I was like, man, okay, Justin Herbert, third year, it's time. Your defense is getting a lot better. It's time now.
The pressure, yeah, you gotta make the playoffs.
There's different when there's pressure on you, though.
And it's harder to make the playoffs now because the Broncos have Russell Wilson.
It's time.
Well, and I'll tell you, the moves that they're making defensively, right, they struggle to stop in the run. You got Austin Johnson, D-tackle, Sebastian Joseph. You traded for Khalil Mack. Now you have J.C. Jackson. Chris Harris is a free agent. You got Asante Samuel Jr., Derwin James. They're making sure this defense is not going to be the Achilles heel for this team next year.
They already got him as blindside protection.
But I still think they need more offensive line wise. But they can do it within the draft. Now you don't have to waste that first round draft pick on a Jordan Davis because you just signed two defensive tackles.
There are tons of good interior offensive linemen in the draft and in free agency still available. Yes. Then there's the biggest quarterback signing, Jay. Yeah.
I was going to say one quick thing, Max. This is how thin the ice is on conversations when all the last 2 years is about how great Justin Herbert is and where he's trending. But not, the margin for error now in this division, considering how talented it is, like from top to bottom, like if they don't make the playoffs, will you be looking at Justin Herbert differently
next year? The number one thing for me is Joe Burrow just came a throw away from winning the Super Bowl. Justin Herbert, you got to make the playoffs. You got to make the playoffs. All right. The biggest QB signing of Monday. Mitch Trubisky. Sorry, he likes Mitchell, right? Mitchell Trubisky signs with the Steelers. Listen to Lewis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst, on SportsCenter about Trubisky's fit.
When he was in Chicago, when they decided to put him on the move, change the launch points, let him use his legs on design runs and or scramble type of situations, he was very, very effective. Where he got into trouble, Kev, was when they tried to make him a dropback passer and really made him try and read things out like traditional dropback guys do. Now, that doesn't say he can't improve on that and get better at it, but what he does best is something that really is a staple for Pittsburgh offensively from a philosophical standpoint. So fit-wise, it makes perfect sense. People may not like it because of how statistically maybe he didn't live up to his number two overall draft billing, but from a stylistic standpoint, this is perfect. Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert nailed it.
He didn't live up to his draft status statistically, but just to set the record straight, take out his rookie year, the dude went to two playoffs behind a terrible offensive line, and his touchdown to interception ratio basically is the same as his win to loss ratio, 2-1. For his career after his rookie season, about two-thirds of his passes.
I'm not going to let you do that.
Thank you. See, I'm not going to let you twist the narrative and, make the stats skewed
towards his. Because the damn defense in Chicago was outstanding.
Thank you.
They couldn't win without him.
It was outstanding, though. The defense was outstanding. Because they was on the field most of the time, the defense were.
But with Trubisky, I'm saying they won about 2-1. They won twice as much as they lost after his rookie year. He completed about 65% of his passes, touchdown, interception.
You know 2018, when they were 11-3?
Yeah.
The Bears' pass offense is 222.8 yards per game, 21st in NFL.
Yeah, he ain't that kind of player.
Defense led the league and just allowing 17 points per game. Defense allowed third least yards per game. I can give you stat after stat about how incredible their defense was. My thing is, if he couldn't figure it out in the NFC North.
He's been a starter all these years.
And I understand.
He made the playoffs twice.
Off their defense, Max.
We can't say he made the playoffs. The team made the playoffs.
But the team has been hot garbage since he left, right? So he's doing something.
Well, the defense hasn't been the same either since he's left.
Okay, then he goes to Dable. Everyone said he got better, or he should get better, potentially got better. And if he was already at a place where we can debate it.
Have you seen him?
I have not, but okay. what I'm saying is.
But that's all I'm saying is, it's funny, I was telling Harry how something can be repackaged and then repositioned in the marketplace for a year under like the tutelage of Brian Dable. I'm not saying it can't work. I just kind of felt like it was underwhelming yesterday for me and a lot of my friends who are Pittsburgh Steelers fans. They're like, okay, like.
You wanted Russell Wilson?
You wanted somebody a little bit more dynamic. That's what I was hoping for.
I would have loved Jimmy G in that spot.
Me too. I think Jimmy G would have been a better choice. Jimmy G,
but see, the Pittsburgh Steelers and their organization, they're not going to spend a lot of money. They're not going to waste draft picks. They're not going to do that. So they took the cheaper route in this situation.
Jimmy, I wonder what the asking price for Jimmy G is. I agree with you. Jimmy G, you can mess around and win a Super Bowl maybe. Who knows? Trubisky, you make the playoffs. It does feel like there's a difference. Did you know you can listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max commercial-free? That's right. You can listen to all your favorite ESPN radio shows and much more without the ads on TuneIn, the best audio app for sports fans. Just download the TuneIn app to get started. All right, so Mitchell Trubisky, the biggest quarterback move on Monday. Will a trade be the biggest quarterback deal today?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click, Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. So what is the latest on Deshaun Watson? Okay, from Adam Schefter, Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson is expected to meet in the next 48 hours with the Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints. Panthers and Saints, among other teams per league source. Watson wants to meet with them just as they want to meet with him before trade talks ramp up. Houston has declined Indianapolis's attempt to speak with Deshaun Watson per source. They are comfortable trading Deshaun Watson, just not in the AFC South. We'll see about the conference, but not in the division. Meanwhile, Diana Russini reports that the Seattle Seahawks do not have any plans to meet with Deshaun Watson as of now. They, of course, traded Russell Wilson. Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Bart and Hahn. On who should call for Deshaun. You heard some of that sound coming in from Bart, but check it out.
If I'm the Arizona Cardinals, NFC, we know that Houston wants to trade them out of the AFC because they don't want to see him for 10 years. I would trade Kyler Murray.
Here we go.
One for one. Maybe I give you a fourth. One for one. I will give you Deshaun Watson, and you can have an MVP candidate, a guy that's a little younger, and you can have him.
Would you do a one-for-one trade, Watson?
Maybe a fourth?
I'll give you a four also. I'll give you Deshaun Watson and a fourth-round pick. Give me Kyler Murray.
Hell no. Deshaun Watson is a top-five quarterback.
Sure?
Let's forget about – let me remind everybody. In 2020 – he didn't play last year in 2021. 2020, right? Threw for over 4,800 yards, 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Completed 70.2% of his passes.
By the way, without D-Hop.
Listen, but I'm going to bring this up too. Let's not forget in that playoff series against the Buffalo Bills when he went Houdini style, right? He went Houdini, made a play. They go into Kansas City. They go up big on Kansas City. If it wasn't for Bill O'Brien and his decision-making within that game, they would have beat Kansas City.
I don't know, man. Kansas City
came storming
back.
So you're
saying
he won in spite of all the moves that Bill O'Brien made, essentially?
Yeah.
By the way, I misspoke, apparently.
What's wrong?
It is Deshaun Watson for Kyler Murray straight up. The one getting the extra fourth-round pick would be the team, in this case the Texans, trading Deshaun Watson. In other words, it costs you Kyler Murray and a little more to land Deshaun Watson, okay?
Okay.
But I would say it should cost you Kyler Murray and a lot more. And it seems like, yeah. I don't know, Jay. Well, first of all, I'd love to hear your answer. Would you do that trade?
I mean, if I were Arizona, I would want that trade.
But not the Texans.
Texans, I want more than that because I understand the value of Deshaun Watson. Plus, I'm comparing that to what the market would offer me for Deshaun Watson. I think if we're talking about Russell Wilson going for what Russell Wilson went for, I'm looking for a bigger deal on Deshaun Watson. Does that make sense?
It does. I think it makes perfect sense. I think we have to – I always preface this by saying, Deshaun Watson, there will not be criminal charges brought against him. There are 22 women making similar accusations. He still faces civil cases, right? So we have to see how that's resolved, what the NFL feels about that, what teams feel. Do they want him on their team, et cetera. That said – as of this moment, if he is eligible to play and all that stuff, are we sure he is a top five quarterback still? I agree he was top five when he left.
You might not be sure. I'm 100% sure.
100%.
Yeah,
all the stats that 100%. Harry just said.
Yeah.
Right? Bill O'Brien letting go of D-Hop, traded for David Johnson. He was a shell of himself. He got hurt. Mm-hmm. They had a lack of weapons around him. I mean, he had the highest PFF grade, like in one of the histories of all time in football, right?
Yeah.
He's one of 29 quarterbacks. Has a PFF grade of 90. 90.
Yes. Same,
right? And the other 28 all played for teams 500 or better.
Right.
So this team was 4-12. So we talk about quarterbacks single-handedly keeping their team in a ton of ball games. That's what Deshaun Watson has done with the Texans. Yeah,
listen, you don't have to sell me on his football ability. I just want to mention, when he was active, I would say, in retrospect especially, like Brady still had it, right? If you wanted me to talk about like quarterbacks I thought were better than Deshaun, no, Patrick Mahomes was. Sorry, like you ain't going to convince me Deshaun Watson is better than Patrick Mahomes. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady.
Okay.
Those are three I don't think we'll get much argument about. But since then.
I just told y'all, 2020 was the last time he played.
Right.
He was the number one quarterback that year.
He won better
ahead
than Patrick
of Mahomes.
Stop.
Ahead of Brady.
Would you have taken him over Mahomes?
No.
Okay, that's what I mean. Right. So Mahomes.
But still, but.
I get it.
Don't let him put you in the corner.
No, don't let him put you in the corner. But I'm just saying, I'm looking at the numbers.
He did it.
In 2018, he completed 68% of his passes. 2019, he was 13th in passing. Like, he's a dual threat guy.
No doubt.
Let's not forget what Dabo Swinney said. He's the Michael Jordan of football.
Well, I think a lot of people have forgotten because it's been out of sight, out of mind, and you've seen other people raise the level of their games, i.e. Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, everybody's on. I get the
counter
arguments.
That's what I'm saying. Here, right, so let's do it. So Brady's back, so there's Brady. I'll take him over Deshaun. I'll take Rodgers over Deshaun. I'll take Patrick Mahomes all day over Deshaun. That's three for me that I'm saying, yes, those are those guys I'll take before Deshaun. Is Deshaun right there with those guys? Yeah, he's in that same mix. But to me, so is Justin Herbert, who has some proving to do. Got to get in the playoffs. He hasn't done that yet. But I'm going to anticipate he's going to do that. And the dude is unbelievable, Herbert.
Deshaun Watson has already.
Who do you like better, Herbert or Watson?
I'm taking Deshaun.
Is it close?
It is close.
Okay. Josh Allen or Deshaun?
I'm taking Deshaun.
Is it close?
It is close.
Joe Burrow or Deshaun?
I'm taking Deshaun.
Okay. Close? Not as close.
It's close.
It's close.
So in other words, you're putting Deshaun in your top five because you'll have him like four. But you might see where someone else might have him like seven. I'm saying, and he hasn't played in a year. So not only is he off the year, but in that time, there are guys who have come up in the world. Personally, me, Joe Burrow has that same thing Deshaun has. With the chips on the line, you believe he's going to get it done, right? And I just saw him lead a team to the Super Bowl and come one play away from winning the whole thing. Deshaun hadn't done that yet.
Who would you take, Herbert or Joe Burrow?
That to me is.
I just I'm
the,
Max. I don't give me the run around.
These
who
are two you, of his who, favorite people.
Who
though,
would
Harry?
You take, Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow? I want
to
know right now.
If you're going to force me to take someone,
yes,
I might take Joe Burrow.
See, I'm taking Herbert.
I get it, because Herbert's better, right? Like, when you eyeball test, he's better.
But is he better in those bigger moments?
Burrow is the type of dude, like, he just beat. You know what he did? He did something Deshaun Watson failed to do. He beat Patrick Mahomes.
Way better team.
In the playoffs.
Better team.
Okay, he did a much better team than Deshaun, I agree.
I hear you. But
nevertheless, he did it. And the Bengals were awful before they got Joe Burrow.
Harry, why do we do that in football? Why do we say, like, oh, this quarterback beat – I mean, he made big plays, but –
It's a team game.
Yeah, but we always say this quarterback beat – he did something that Deshaun Watson – I'm like, who was Deshaun Watson playing with?
I do it, too, because when I was making my argument why I would choose Herbert over Joe Burrow, I went to the head-to-head matchup this past year. And Herbert won that matchup, and Joe Burrow didn't have a good game. He had three turnovers in that game. Herbert
he had a better game than people realize, but yeah. But Herbert does all the things that guys like Mahomes and Rodgers do, but check this out. He's better on fourth down than Mahomes and Rodgers and Brady and everyone. He's better against pressure when guys are coming at him than everyone. Yeah. And he's 6'6" and can run and throw.
He's the prototype,
Herbert,
man.
He is broken the mold. But so my point is, Deshaun Watson is great when he's on the field. The fact is, you got a bunch of great quarterbacks at the top now.
But you can't ignore the body of work that Deshaun Watson has put together. You can't just ignore that because he didn't play one year, a year that he doesn't have to put that toll on his body. So he may come back even better. We know he's going to come back motivated.
And that's my thing, too, Harry, for Justin Herbert. And I get he looks the part and he's played extremely well. I just want to see that same level of play sustained over a certain amount of time. Like, at least give me 3 or 4 years before I start saying, hey, you're in this upper echelon category.
Because,
like, 2 years, okay, fine. Scouting report's out. Like, I know your defense is getting better. Like, now lead your team.
Yeah, like, to lead the team. Here's the thing. And this is to answer your question, I have my own, why do we go to quarterback record? It's overrated. I actually think it's become underrated with analytics types, and I'll tell you why. The odds, when you look at odds and where they wind up, so Vegas posts odds, the odds maker's job is to try to get equal action on both sides of the line. If the action is heavy on one side, the odds move because it reflects the wisdom of crowds, right? Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, James Surowiecki has a book on this because there was a book, The Madness of Crowds. He wrote The Wisdom of Crowds because all of us is smarter than any one of us. So the reason the odds are so hard to beat is it reflects the wisdom of all of us, right? The betting action. There's a reason that almost the only thing that moves the odds are quarterbacks. You know why? Because they are the ones who affect the game so much more than any other position. That wins and losses and things that you just brought up, Jay, leadership, like the reason you want to see Justin Herbert lead his team to the playoffs, and I'm with you, and I love Herbert, but I don't want to hear excuses. At a certain point, the great ones figure out a way to lead the team to the playoffs, right? At least. He hasn't done that yet. That's legit. I can't argue against that.
And he has no excuse moving forward. With what the Chargers are doing in free agency and they're building this roster out, last year, I give it to him because I thought his head coach and Brandon Staley made some decisions to go for it on fourth downs. I didn't think he made the best decisions for his team to win because I thought they should have beat the Chiefs twice last year.
Yeah.
But the fact of them not kicking field goals and going for it on fourth down in certain situations allowed them not to do that.
When I see pure talent at the quarterback position, and Deshaun Watson's great. And by the way, who was better in college, Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson? Who was the best player in the loss to Alabama, and then the next year beat him by the skin of his teeth, and then Trevor Lawrence came and sliced and
diced
him.
Don't do that, Max. The man had arguably one of the best teams in college football history.
Who was better
in
college, Deshaun or Trevor Lawrence?
I'm taking Deshaun.
Okay. In college, boy, Trevor Lawrence is real good. And we'll see what he becomes as a pro.
Did you hear Dabo call him the Larry Bird of basketball?
Why can't it be the Jordan?
No.
Why can't it be the Jordan?
Because you know why. Self-explanatory.
The Larry Bird.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. Pure talent, and I'll include Deshaun in this. There's Mahomes and Rodgers, and to me, Herbert's the other guy in that group. I don't think anyone else is in that category of pure eyeball test. Oh, my God, did you see that? To me. And I love Joe Burrow, and maybe he's the guy I'd take, but the eyeball test, oh, my God, that guy is the best. To me, it's Mahomes, Rodgers, and Herbert.
Deshaun Watson has had a ton of plays.
Eyeball test?
Oh, my God.
Eyeball test?
That guy's amazing.
Eyeball test, you put him with those guys?
Am I lying? Deshaun Watson hasn't had moments like that? In the National Football League, where you're just like, wow.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I had that guy.
Most definitely.
So we're about to bring Mike Tannenbaum into this conversation. As soon as he's ready, properly lit.
You can't go to somebody here until we know that they're ready.
So look, the lighting. I almost went to him right then, and I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to go to Mike T right now.
I'm surprised that Harry's on the set because I thought he was still serving his candle suspension because of multiple violations of having a candle in the studio. I thought we were looking at like a 6-month suspension for Harry being on set here.
Some Sade in the studio that day?
Hey, man, I was setting the mood. Mike came in. He was like, oh,
you're setting the mood for Mike coming in.
It smells different in here. Whoa. See, it changed the ambiance and everything in the entire room. Then I got that.
We
now got the letter.
We now bring Mike Tannenbaum into the conversation.
Hey, phrasing!
Giving the Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Is Deshaun Watson still, given the year off and the come up in the league of Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, who were not where they are now when he last played, is he still a top 5 quarterback?
Absolutely.
Oh!
He absolutely is.
Atta baby, Mike T.
I'm not sure about that, but go ahead.
All right. I remember having a conversation with Nick Saban the year that Deshaun Watson came out, and he said it better than any of us. He's like, you guys, meaning the NFL, overcomplicate things. He's like, Deshaun Watson was a guy that for 2 years – we struggled defending. And, oh, by the way, we put out more guys than anybody on the defensive side of the ball that's going to play on Sundays. What do you guys – and that was the year that, you know, for whatever reason, a couple guys went before him. And to me, like, Deshaun Watson has elevated people around him. He's a great player. Now, obviously, there's still the 22 civil lawsuits that are pending that we can't ignore. But as a talent on the field, I think that's – any team would be
– where would you rank him? Harry has him 4th. I think that's a good ranking. I think you could have him anywhere between 4 and 7. Yeah. Where do you have him?
So I had to rank every quarterback every week during the season, and he would be somewhere, to me, around like 6 or 7 right now. Now, if it's one game...
I just asked if he's top 5. You said absolutely. 1 second later, he's 6 or 7?
Well, it depends, and here's why. Like, if we go back to the Burrow and the Herbert thing, if for one game I'm taking Joe Burrow, if we're building a team, I'm taking Justin Herbert because Joe Burrow's been hurt. Justin Herbert's built to last. Like, right. That's why I always struggle with a guy like Tua. Like, when you're height and speed deficient, like Baker Mayfield, Tua, you're going to get hurt. Joe Burrow's not built to last. He's been hurt. And that's why, like, those things matter. For one game, yeah, Deshaun Watson, to me, he if he's not five, maybe he's seven, but I would move him up because he's a bigger guy, more athletic. He's been more durable.
And he's a proven big-game player, yes. And that is meaningful. Look, if push comes to shove, do I have him in the top five? Yeah. If push comes to shove,
okay, I was about to say,
I'm not sure,
don't
but
do
I would
this
say,
to me today.
I would say, depending on when I like, you know, these guys are so good. Like what you said about Jokic and Embiid, Jay. Mm-hmm. On Tuesday, you think about it one way. You have one guy here, the other guy there. Wednesday,
trust
you can
me,
change.
I see you with Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow every day. You go back and
Bob,
forth.
Was it Bob Gibson? I think it was asked once the best catch he ever saw. The great Cardinals pitcher, right? He said the best catch is like the prettiest girl. The last one you saw is the best you ever saw, right? Like, that's these quarterbacks. They're so good. The last guy you think about, it's hard to knock them down. So Deshaun Watson is an incredible player, right? And so some team is going to trade for him.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and in my career I've been involved with some really big situations. Brett Favre, Tim Tebow, we drafted Laremy Tunsil despite what happened to him the night of the draft. This is a real unique situation, and you really need organizational alignment from ownership, head coach, leadership in the locker room, because despite there not being any criminal charges, there's still 22 pending lawsuits, and you can't ignore that.
Let's talk about leadership, and let's talk about trade. Bart Scott, the infamous Bart Scott. We love Bart Scott.
Who would be dumb enough to overpay Bart Scott?
I love you, Mike. You're the best.
Who was the GM for the Jets back then?
Who would pay an athletically deficient two-down linebacker? Who would do that?
So yesterday he suggested that he would do Deshaun Watson, Kyler Murray, one-of-one trade, an additional fourth rounder for the Texans. Would you do that?
If I was who?
I mean, obviously,
my point exactly.
Obviously, if you're the Texans, you're like, okay. I mean,
100%.
Yeah.
100%. If I'm Houston.
But if you're Arizona.
Well, here's one thing to add to that discussion, Jay, Will, which is last year Houston could operate from a position of they didn't have to make a trade. This year they do because of his contract. So there's a little bit more pressure on the Texans that wasn't there a year ago. They're not going to carry his contract another year, which they were able to do last year. So last year some teams were interested, but they can name their price. This year I think they'll get significant value, but it's not like they have all the leverage in the world. So if I'm Arizona, I'm gonna really think about that a lot, because the one question I would want to ask Kyler Murray, Jay Will, is this. Kyler, what do you think you need to do to improve your leadership? Because when you get $40, $45 million, you need to create an aura of association. You need to be a reason why people want to come here and play for you, like the way Tom Brady, like the way they do for Aaron Rodgers. Like, you have to be that guy. And what do you think you need to do to get better at? And his answer would be really interesting to me.
That's important, because when you're in those positions, leadership matters. Your body language matters. The way you interact with your teammates matter. And if you're getting paid that amount of money and you can't bring in guys and you're basically shooting guys away because of your demeanor, that's not good.
So
it's not good at all.
So, Mike, you and I have been debating this. You, experienced GM for playoff teams that have made deep runs. I, also qualified, used to simulate games on Madden in franchise mode. So I think I'm qualified to talk about this. So we're talking about trading within the conference. And you, under no circumstance, want to trade a great player in the conference. I would trade a player in the conference. I'm not scared to trade a player in the conference. However, in the division is something else. One of the teams that was denied permission to talk to Deshaun Watson, the Indianapolis Colts, in the division. But Harry had an interesting point about this. He has a no trade. What do you do if he says, that's the only team I'll take a trade to?
Yeah, no, it gets really, really interesting this year, guys. Like, again, like, they're not going to sit there and pay him not to play this year. So
$40 million cap hit.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why, to me, like, this is one of those deals, and I've been a part of a couple of them where everybody has to make it work because everybody has something to gain and everybody has something to lose. Because Deshaun Watson could really, he could put immense pressure on the Texans by saying, hey, you know what, Carolina just offered you 3-1s. I'm not going there.
Mm. That's what I told a lot of people on the show I did yesterday with Canty. Deshaun Watson has the keys in his hands right now. Because if he doesn't agree to the trade, it's not going to happen.
Right. Now, but the inverse of that, Harry, is like, okay, you're going to go play here. Well, I don't want to play here. Well, if you don't go practice and play, we're not going to pay you. And then that's where you get into the whole Jalen Ramsey situation where you have the hold in and my back is stiff. Then he gets traded from Jacksonville and the Rams and all of a sudden he's okay.
A James Harden deal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, my hamstring's tight.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, and again, and then you put on the other thing, guys, which is, is he going to even be eligible to play? If we go back to 2010, Ben Roethlisberger served a 6-game suspension and was never charged with any criminal accusations.
We have like 20 seconds, Mike. If you're the GM of the Texans and Deshaun says, "I'm either you trade me to the Colts or that's it, you can take my cap hit," what do you do?
Right, trade him to the Colts.
Whoa!
Wow!
You
have to.
If that's all I had.
Wow. He really is holding the keys. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Wow!
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.